So this is the final of our series, Love God and Love People, which is about reaching those who don't know Jesus, which we've been doing through November. And Father, we pray you'd anoint your word with power and speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, we bind distractions. We pray your word would change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, no one likes to be rejected. Who can remember back at high school or sometime when you're a kid or a teenager being rejected by other people? Oh, bad memories. Let's not go there. You know, many experts believe that rejection is the single most damaging thing to ever be experienced by people, even worse than abuse and neglect. The need to belong is very strong, perhaps stronger than many other needs in the human heart. That's why some people even join gangs and do stuff they know is wrong, because at least in a gang they're accepted and they belong, which they may not have found in their own family. We all want to be liked. We all want to be popular. That's why people count how many Facebook friends have gotten, how many likes have gotten there, whatever it is. It feels good to be accepted. But the problem with this is that Jesus has not called us to be liked or to be popular or to be accepted by this world. In fact, he told us that the world hated him, so it will hate us too. Is anyone feeling encouraged here today? The truth is, we each need to be ready and willing to follow Jesus, even if it means that people won't always like us. Even if it means people hate us for no reason. Do you know 11 of the 12 disciples died a violent death just for following Jesus? That's most of the apostles and disciples. That's nearly all of them. So today, I want to expose something that would stop us being a good witness for Jesus, and that thing is the fear of man. That's my title today, the fear of man. We're exposing the fear of man. Write that down. What about the fear of woman? Some of you young guys might have that today. And I hope you do. So let's look. The fear of man. John 12, 42 and 43. This is the New Living. Here we go. Many people, including some of the Jewish leaders, believed in him. But they wouldn't admit it to anyone because of their fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. That was like the Jewish church. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. The good news says they love human approval rather than the approval of God. American Standard says they loved glory from men rather than glory from God. Now, praise in Greek is doxa, which means glory, praise, honor, and reputation. They loved the reputation from what people thought of them more than their reputation with God. Many people, including some Jewish leaders at the time when Jesus was ministering, tried to become secret believers, closet Christians. But the problem with that is we can never be secret disciples of Jesus. It's impossible. It's a contradiction in terms. Either the secrecy will kill the discipleship or the discipleship will kill the secrecy. These guys didn't come out and say yes to Jesus because of one thing, the fear of man. The Jewish leaders would not confess Jesus for this one simple reason. They were scared of what people would think of them. They were fearful of rejection. They were afraid they'd get kicked out of the synagogue. These guys wanted the best of both worlds. They wanted to have a foot in both camps. They wanted to keep all their options open. They wanted what would work the most for their own personal advantage. They wanted what was best for themselves. But Jesus shows us it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. Faith must be expressed. Faith and belief must be confessed. We can't be secret squirrel disciples of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus involves witness before people and God. Now, we can be hard on these guys here in the Bible, but what about us? What if, like, someone at school asks, oh, do you go to church? Are you one of those churchy people? And you reply, oh, yeah, but only because my parents make me. Or a guy at work goes, oh, do you go to church? And you're like, oh yeah, only because the wife makes me. That's my male voice. How often? often do we conveniently not mention to others that we are believers because we don't want to be snobbed by the in crowd at school, or we don't want to be dumped by a new group of super cool friends at the golf course, or we don't want to be overlooked to being invited to Friday night drinks after work, or we don't want to be dropped by the in-group of women with their fake tans and flash clothes at the preschool coffee mornings, all because so often we love the praise of people more than we love the praise of God. The fear of man is what Satan uses to stop us being a witness for Jesus. We're thinking, what will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find out it's true? We, like the Jewish leaders, live in a status-conscious culture today. It's easier for us to place more emphasis on what people think of us than on what God thinks of us. It's easier for us to place a higher value on being praised by people than we do on being praised by God. These Jewish leaders believed in Jesus, but they did not have the courage to own their faith in him. For these guys, declaring faith in Jesus publicly meant an end of three things. Write these down. Number one, their place. Number two, their profit. And number three, their prestige. So believing in Jesus might end their place, their profit, and their prestige. They probably would have been kicked out of their Jewish church, the synagogue, maybe even ostracized from Jewish society. So they ended up living a lie because they were not big enough to stand up for the truth. And they considered what people thought of them as being more important than what God thought of them. Here's a summary, Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, a trap. It's a trap for us. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And the good news says, it's coming. It is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. The message says the fear of human opinion disables. The fear of man is Satan's domain because Satan operates through fear. The fear of man can make even godly people do stupid things. Do you know the fear of man caused Abraham and Isaac to even deny that their own wives were their own wives? They made up some big story about them being their sister. The fear of man can even cause us to tell rude jokes to our mates to get lots of laughs, even though we know it grieves the Holy Spirit. The fear of man can even cause us to choose a career based on the hope of a huge salary in order to impress our friends, even when we know it's not the path that God has for us. The sad fact is, for many Christians, there is a certain person or certain people group in our lives that we often fear and listen to more than we do to God. The fear of man means our actions are controlled and confined by that person or group of people who we fear and listen to more than God. You know, we even see the fear of man at work in the pages of the New Testament. The fear of man caused Peter to deny that he even knew Jesus. It caused Nicodemus, the Pharisee, to only come and see Jesus under the cloak of darkness because he didn't want all his Pharisee mates to see him talking to Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, another Pharisee who paid for Jesus' funeral and burial, and Nicodemus helped him. The sad thing is, these two guys would not make a stand for Jesus while he was alive and ministering on earth. And it took the dramatic crisis of the death of Jesus to shake them up enough to make a stand for God. Sometimes it takes a dramatic crisis in our lives to shake us up before we'll actually come out of hiding and go public for Jesus. Let's not wait for a major crisis to have to shake us up enough to declare our allegiance to Jesus. Let's go public for him now. Does someone have to die before we get enough of a rude awakening to actually tell somebody that we're believers? Beware of the fear of man. Tell the person next to you, beware of the fear of man. Beware of the fear of man. You know, we've got to tell people at work, at uni, at school, up front, somehow, that we're a believer. I've found the best thing when I meet someone, the best thing is to let them know as soon as possible, in a natural, normal way, when I meet them, that I'm a Christian. Not in a weird way. Eleanor Hood, born again and washed in the blood. Nice to meet you. That's just weird. But be open and honest and be real. Because it says in Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Never be ashamed to bear the name of Christ. That's us. We are his family. We bear his name, the name of Christian. That's our last name. Sometimes people say to me, oh, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a pastor. Pastor, like what, like fettuccine? No, like I'm a minister. You don't look like a minister. Yeah, well, I left my dog collar at home. I used to say when I was teaching, I'm a teacher, I teach at a Christian school. Now, I didn't have to say the Christian school part, but the reason I said it was because I'm trying to always introduce Jesus somehow into the conversation. And then maybe they'll pick up on that and we'll get to have a convo about spiritual things, about Jesus. We're trying to find a natural way of letting people know we're a Christian early in the conversation, and it makes it easier for us in the future. And you won't be thinking, how am I going to tell them that I'm a Christian? How am I going to share Jesus with them? If we just start chatting about our weekend, asking them what they did in their weekend, and then we can chat about after that about our weekend and how we went to church and or youth and how awesome it was. It just happens more naturally. Now you might think, well, why is it so important that you have to talk about Jesus? Can't you just believe in him in your heart? Why do we have to always be talking? Well, let's look at what the word says. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't just say if you believe in your heart, you'll be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So the mouth's got to get involved here. It's important. Remember, it's the overflow valve of the heart. Simply believing in Jesus in our hearts is not enough. We must speak out our allegiance to him, our love for him, because that is how we are saved. What is believed in the heart must be confessed openly and without shame at our mouths. Here's another verse, Matthew 12:34b. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know what's in people's hearts by what they talk about all the time. If you're in love with someone, you talk about them frequently. If we love Jesus, we'll talk about him lots. Professing Jesus publicly is essential for Christians, and it is a test of our discipleship. True disciples are never ashamed to be known as disciples of Jesus. And here's another one. This is our last one, I think. And then the band can come. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus said, if anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will openly acknowledge that person before my Father in heaven. But if anyone denies me here on earth, I will deny that person before my Father in heaven. Ooh, that's a freaky scripture right there. We've got to go public with our love for God. It is vital for each of us to learn to take a stand for God. Sometimes that means we have to stand alone. Jesus knew what it was to stand alone. He went to the cross alone. Paul knew what it meant to stand alone. We see that in 2 Timothy 4:16. When Paul was brought before the judge, he said, no one stood by me. Everyone abandoned me. We each must learn to stand alone for God. If all of your friends backslid, would you still be able to stand? What if your connect group leader backslid? What if your youth pastor backslid? Would you be able to stand alone for God? We've got to be able to stand alone for him. Though none go with me, still I will follow. We've got to be able to do it. Man, I remember when I was at Teachers College and I just got saved back in the late 80s. And the Lord was really calling me to make a stand for him. And I had to choose whether I hung out with all my party animal drinking mates from the year before, my first year, or whether I made a stand for him. And I had to kind of choose often. And I would just take my Bible every day with me as I bike there. I didn't have a car, and with my backpack. And I'd get my Bible out between classes and read it in the library or sit under a tree at lunchtime by myself. And it was better for me than hanging with all my party animal mates from the year before often. And I was a witness to them as well, but I couldn't be with them all the time because otherwise they'd start to influence me and I was just a new Christian. And, you know, back in the 80s, it was the era of bumper stickers. Who had a bumper sticker? Yeah, you have to drive like a Christian if you have a Christian bumper sticker. Some of you drive like the devil, so you shouldn't have a Christian bumper sticker. And I thought, Lord, I want a bumper sticker, but I don't even have a car. I'm going to write my own on my backpack so when I'm biking and walking, everyone can see it for you. And I was trying to think of a good bumper sticker, you know, not a lame one like, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. What does that mean? Like to a non-Christian. So I think I just wrote Jesus loves you or something. I couldn't think of a good one. But I wanted to stand up for the Lord. We've got to be prepared to stand alone. And I felt like God was calling me to learn to stand up for him alone, because God will get us by ourselves to do these deep works in us. And some of you are in this process right now. The Holy Spirit is teaching you to stand alone. Just let him do it. Just let him teach this to you. It's a valuable lesson, one that we each must learn. Because being a Christian involves not fitting in to this world. We can never be normal. We can never be normal like this world defines normal. As long as you are living here on this planet, you will never be normal. Tell the person next to you, I always knew you weren't normal. You know, we're never going to fit in. We're never going to fit in this world. If our objective is to fit in and be popular in this world, then we actually won't be a Christian for long. Because sooner or later, these two worlds will collide and we will be forced to declare our allegiance to one or the other. And we each have to break through this fear of man that Satan tries to put on us. And unless we break it, we will become enslaved by it. And we can actually become caught up in idolatry, the sin of idolatry, which is worshipping and loving the praise of people more than we love the praise of God. Do you know the opinion of people will only matter for the few short years that we are living here on earth? But the opinion of God and the judgment of God will matter for all eternity. Don't fling away the rewards of eternity for the reward of a moment. So we're so often focused on this world that we forget about the next. But we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. We are aliens in this world. Look at the person next to you. You're looking at an alien right there. Aliens. That's who we are. God is calling each one of us to count the cost and make a stand for Jesus Christ. And being a Christian will always involve courage. We can't be a coward and be a Christian. Do you know, in Revelation 21 verse 8, it lists the kind of people who will go to hell and be thrown in the lake of fire. Heading that list are the cowardly. They are the first ones to be thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, the cowardly. You know, water baptism is the first public stand we take for Jesus. It declares our faith in him. It's the first thing Jesus tells us to do, to believe and be baptized. And there are some people here today, I'm sure, who still need to do the first thing that Jesus told us to do, believe and be baptized. And he's not going to give you an assignment or anything else to do until you do the first thing that he's told us to do, to believe and be baptized. Let's be bold in our witness for Jesus. He went boldly to the cross for us. You know, I read about guys like John Wesley. He was kicked out of churches, so he'd preach on the street. Then he got stuff thrown at him on the streets, like rotten tomatoes and manure and stones. And he'd be bruised and bleeding, and he would not give up. That guy did never, ever once give up. And he preached 40,000 sermons. He wrote over 100 books. He rode or walked 4,000 miles a year, and he brought revival to the United Kingdom. But he couldn't have done it if he was under the fear of man and enslaved by it. We must break the stuff off our lives. Let's stand for him this morning. Who knows what's on the other side of our obedience to Jesus Christ in making a stand for him and throwing off the fear of man. And we're going to sing a worship song right now. And I want to open the altar up for anyone who feels like the fear of man has been holding them back. And even the act of walking out the front here before the Lord to his altar, even in front of other people, will break off the fear of man. Let's close our eyes. If you know that you have been struggling in this area of the fear of man and you want to break free and you just want to make a stand for the Lord, if that's you, why don't you put your hand up right now, because I want to include you in my prayer. Put it straight up. Again, we're not worrying what people think of us. That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Put your hand up. Father, we pray right now that you would break the fear of man off us in the name of Jesus, that you would set us free to be bold in our witness for you, that we would be outspoken for you, that we would never be ashamed of you, that we would confess you publicly. Lord, we thank you for your grace toward us in this. And Lord, I see people this week speaking about you to others. I see people right now, it's going to happen this afternoon, texting their friends, ringing their friends, inviting them to Ian McCormick tonight. We see people at work this week and at school making a confession for you and being bold for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.